Christ is risen. The joy continues. We see once again the risen Savior appearing to his disciples and showing them how things will be when he is no longer physically with them and visible. So today we see the Savior thinking especially of all the Christians who have lived since the time that Jesus rose again. May the Lord bless your Easter worship. This is the second Sunday of the seven Sunday celebration of Easter. We begin with the opening hymn that began the service last Sunday. So enjoy singing that the good news of Savior's resurrection. We follow the order of service that begins in the middle of page 4 of your service folder. We begin by calling on the name of the Lord. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Thank you.
risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first scripture lesson on this second Sunday of the Easter celebration is written in the second chapter of the book of Acts. After the remarkable events on that Pentecost Sunday, tongues of fire, the sound of a violent wind, and speaking in many different languages, Peter preaches a sermon. A sermon in which he points the listeners there on that day to the risen Christ. We hear those same words. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. This is the word of the Lord. We join in singing together Psalm 16, the psalm that David was quoting from as he spoke about Jesus in prophecy.
Thank you.
The second lesson of today's service comes to us from the first chapter of the first letter of Peter. Here, Peter rejoices in words that rise up to the Lord in thanksgiving for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and for the hope that it gives to his people. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Alleluia. We rise for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Peter wrote to his listeners in the lesson we just heard that you have not seen him, but yet you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible joy. We are in that same position. We hear the Savior speaking of us as he tells Thomas, "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." The gospel will be the text for this morning's sermon. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the triune God and the risen Christ in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue our worship with the hymn of the day, hymn number 166. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who tells us that we are more blessed than those who have seen him rise from the dead. The word of God, which we shall consider on this second Sunday of the Easter celebration, is the gospel for this day written in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Listen again to the first words of the text. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Fellow disciples of the Lord, each Easter season, on the second Sunday of the Easter celebration, when things sort of calm down, comes this gospel lesson from John each year. And each year, the words are striking that are spoken to Thomas and to the other disciples. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Peter picked up on that in the second lesson. Today he said the same thing to those readers of his letter, who none of whom had seen the risen Savior. What does that mean? How can that be? Every one of us has thought, boy, if I could just be a fly on the wall and have seen what happened that Easter evening, what a powerful thing that would be. But that isn't what Jesus says. Jesus points us to something even more important than seeing him resurrected from the dead. Wow. What is that special thing? Have we really seen Christ? Jesus would answer us, yes, we have. We have seen him. What we see most clearly is what comes to us through Jesus' words rather than his appearance. We're delighted that the disciples are telling us of their firsthand witness of the Savior's resurrection. We know that he rose from the dead. But more difficult even to believe is that there is peace between God and us, peace that isn't always obvious. If peace is hard to believe, so was the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples this Easter evening couldn't get out of their minds what they saw on Good Friday. It was horrible. It was the end of everything that they had thought. For 3 years they had followed Jesus. They were looking forward to sitting on his right and in his left, perhaps, on his throne. Wonderful things were coming. God's kingdom was going to be established. And then the Romans crucified. It was simply stunning. And as difficult as that was, also consider the fact that that Easter afternoon, when they heard the women talking about Jesus rising from the dead, and Peter and John had run to the tomb and seen that it was empty, There still was a fear, not just of the Jews, the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews, but what about Jesus? Have you thought about that? I'll bet they did. They'd all run away. Peter had spoken for all of them when he said, I would rather die than desert you. I will always be there for you. And they had all run away. What would they say to Jesus if he had risen from the dead? And then he appears to them. And the first thing he says to them is the greeting of the Middle East. Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And they see that he's risen from the dead. They're rejoicing. He is indeed alive. But then the Savior starts over again. Peace be with you, he says. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so he was telling them that his mission was the most important thing, and that they're going to take it up now. They're going to go forward. They would know about forgiveness. He forgave them. You know, not a single one of us is any different than the rest of the disciples. No, they ran away. They were afraid. We can understand that. They were confused. They didn't know what to think. Jesus had been the leader. Now he's crucified. What were they supposed to do? They had no clue. They did not know what to do. Think of us in the times when we've forsaken the Lord. We don't even have the excuse that the disciples had. They just didn't know what to do. Our problem is we know what to do. We know that we should stand up for the Lord. We should be seen as people who are the Lord's disciples. That's the first thing in our lives. But we don't let that be known. And we know better. And to us, as well as the disciples, Jesus says, peace be with you. What a wonderful thing peace is. Because it conquers death. What does it mean if you knew that Jesus had risen from the grave, if you weren't going to rise from the grave as well? It would just be a startling, wonderful fact. But it would have no meaning for you. Jesus rose from the dead. But more importantly than that, his resurrection from the dead shows that what he did on the cross was accepted by the Father. Our sins, borne by Jesus, have been set aside. There really is joy. There really is peace. Not the lack of war somewhere in the world. That'll never happen in this life. But peace between us and God, it's ours. And so this wonderful message goes forth from this time all the way to our time. And here's the very heart of the gospel. Here's why we are more blessed than those who saw. Because we understand the forgiveness of sins. Our attention is focused on that. Jesus began, peace be with you. Well, then they were just amazed by seeing him. It's as if he had started but couldn't continue. So they get over all the wonder of seeing him risen from the dead, and he starts again. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Let's try this again, he says. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not receive them, they are not forgiven. You know what that is? That is what Christians have called the ministry of the keys. Because Jesus said, to Peter in similar words before his resurrection, that if we forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If we don't, they're not. The door of heaven is unlocked or locked. The ministry of the keys. And where is that seen? It's seen in God's people. We did it this morning. We confessed our sins. We said, not only have we done wrong, but we are basically sinful. And then I was privileged to say to you, God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, I'm not speaking those words because I'm some holy person. I'm speaking those words because you have called me to do that in your name. So therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. By his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the ministry of the keys. It is a ministry that belongs to everyone who is forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who knows the peace that Christ has won between us sinners and a holy God. We do it together. We gather together so that the good news of salvation will be proclaimed, that people will hear, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Go with God's blessing. We do that because the kingdom of God is the most important thing in the world. We do it together. We also do it as individual Christians. When you live a life of forgiveness, when you reflect what Jesus has done for you, you are proclaiming the Word of God. All that the disciples had after Jesus had ascended into heaven was his Word. And it was his Word that mattered. It wasn't the fact that he had risen from the dead. If that's all there was, there wouldn't be anything and we wouldn't be here. But they had Jesus' word and we have Jesus' word. Your sins are forgiven, and whoever's sins you forgive, they're forgiven too. That's the greatest blessing of all. In word and in sacrament, the ministry of God's people proclaims the forgiveness of sins. Water that washes away sin and dresses in the clothing of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The bread and wine that are the body and blood of Jesus Christ, shared until he comes again at the end of time. And the word of forgiveness that is baptism and is Holy Communion. The Word of God. That is the blessing of Easter. Not just having seen someone who rose from the dead, but knowing that there no longer is a wall between me and God, between you and your Lord. And so the Savior comes through the words of the evangelist and apostle John. Peace be with you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We join together now, asking the Lord to give us that new heart that belongs to anyone who hears the words of Jesus' forgiveness. Create in me. We rise to pray. You are, O resurrected Son of God, the authority upon whose promise we have credential to speak your word and will. Because you walk with us who are your sisters and brothers, because you use us to make your kingdom come, all whose sins we forgive are forgiven by you. Because you rose and now reign within our hearts, we can be fearless and bold. Without your rising from the grave, like the disciples, we would barricade ourselves against this world's grave threat. Of ourselves, we are faint and fearful. We have neither courage, strength, nor confidence. But you never leave us nor forsake us. You are the victor, and your triumph makes us victors too. Assure us with your presence in word and sacrament. Though we have not seen, yet we believe. Open our eyes to all evidence that you are with us, and bestow faith on us and energize our lagging spirits. Where we have been assailed by foolish doubts, forgive us and strengthen our faith. Where we have been timid, pardon us and grant us courage. Where we have been faithless, absolve us and provide fidelity and constancy. And where we have sinned, erase our shame and clothe us with your righteousness. Our minds, Lord, are too slow, our memories too dull to catalog all your blessings or even list our wants. You lavishly answer our petitions before we bring them, and you accept our feeble groaning and call that praise. We bring before you those among us who need your strength. Carol Metzler, who is undergoing difficult chemotherapy for lymphoma. B. Lepic, who has broken her knee. Madonna Perkins and LaVon Casey's husband, Dion, who are gaining strength after difficult bouts with heart problems. And my family, who is mourning the loss of a mother and grandmother on Friday. Hold them all in your strong arms and remind them that you are always faithful to your promise, that you work for our good in all things. Bring comfort and encouragement to the people in the southern states so devastated by the loss of life and the physical destruction of the recent tornadoes. May those who have lost everything come to realize that in Christ they have all they need or want. Our Savior, in the fullness of your time, crown our faith with final victory and take us home to live with you eternally. Amen. In your name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
confirmed members and those guests who have previously announced to a pastor may step forward now at the direction of the ushers.
Strength and preserve you.
We rise for the song of thanksgiving, which is the song of Simeon on page 15 of your service folder.
In peace, Lord, you let your servant now depart according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for every people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you give us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. We pray that through this precious gift of yourself, you would feed our faith, nourish our hope, and strengthen our love, that we might live as your people now and as your guests forever at the wedding feast of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Children and teachers and parents attending the opening devotion of the Sunday school may leave at this point to be on time for that devotion. We bid a warm welcome from St. Mark's to those who are guests with us today. We're happy to share a little bit of the Easter celebration with you. We invite you to be with us each Sunday. There are seven Sundays. This was only the second of the seven Sunday Easter celebration. A couple of announcements to emphasize. This Wednesday, we are beginning a new Bible information class. This is the perfect place to find out more about the Christian faith and about St. Mark's for those who may be interested. It's something, too, a class that our members can use to review their confirmation instruction. This Wednesday evening, details are in the bulletin. Also, we've been thinking about how we reflect the forgiveness of sins that Jesus gives to us, to others. And so 2 weeks from today is our mission festival. A pastor from Texas is going to be here to share some of the joy of sharing the gospel with us. We're planning a meal that day, and there's a sign-up sheet in the church lobby. So let us know that you're coming so we can plan properly. May the joy of Easter continue to be yours as we celebrate the Savior's resurrection. We invite you to greet each other.